the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and you are listening to Love to Love. Join me as we take a trip back in time to discover the origins of music in various faiths of the world. Dear listeners, have you ever stopped and wondered, where did music come from? Now, there are many theories regarding when and where music originated. Many agree that music began even before man existed. Historiographers point out that there are 6 periods of music and each period has a particular style of music that greatly contributed to what music is today. Now really, music can mean different things to different people. Like for me, music is the sound of the wind blowing through the gardens of Prashanti. It is the sound of the birds that take flight in the mornings and evenings just outside our studio when I stand under a small stall while enjoying a cup of fresh coffee. It is in the nature and environment around me that sends me inspiration to pick up my guitar and play some songs. Well, dear listeners, do take some time to ponder on what music means to you. Today, let us talk about the origins of music in faith and worship. How did music become a key component in a way we worship the divine? Now, before we dive into today's show, on behalf of all of us at Radio Sai, I would like to wish all our listeners a blessed Eid Mubarak. May this beautiful festival bring with it lots of love and light. And what better way to honor and celebrate Eid today than to start off the show with some origins of music in Islam. Writings on Islamic music are from the end of the 9th century, more than 250 years after the advent of Islam. The call to prayer, the Al-Adhan, is almost always sung, as is the Holy Quran, whose chantings is the most nourishing of all music for the soul of the people of Islamic faith. As Islam is a multi-ethnic religion, the musical expressions it holds is very diverse. Now, Sufism is by far an ocean of celestial music that expresses the beauty of the religion in various musical manners. This can be from the playing of the drums in Senegal to the elaborate performances with many instruments in Turkey and in the Indian subcontinent. Folk music has been sung and played by those who follow the Sharia way of Islam, and sometimes this type of music has also served as great inspiration to Sufi masters. Even Jalal ad-Din Rumi, the founder of the Maulavi order, had often taken such songs and converted them into expressions of the profoundest yearning for God. Now, before we go further, here is a beautiful Sufi song sung by the popular Bollywood and Sufi singer Kailash Kher from his performance in the Divine Presence on 15th of July 2008.
किसने उसको ऐसे लूटा कि फिर उड़ ना पाया गिरता हुआ वो आसमां से आकर गिरा जमीन पर ख्वाबों में फिर भी बादल ही थे वो कहता रहा मगर के अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा अपने पर ही तो उसने था उड़ना सीखा होके अपने पर ही तो होके अपने पर ही तो उसने था उड़ना सीखा
गम को अपने साथ में ले ले दर्द भी तेरे काम आएगा
अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा टुकड़े हो गया था हर सपना जब वो टूटा टुकड़े टुकड़े हो गया था टुकड़े टुकड़े हो गया था हर सपना जब वो टूटा
बिखरे टुकड़ों में अल्लाह की मर्जी का मंदिर आएगा
अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा
अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे
जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा
टूटा टूटा एक परिंदा ऐसे टूटा कि फिर जुड़ ना पाया ओ लूटा लूटा किसने उसको ऐसे लूटा फिर उड़ ना पाया
गिरता हुआ वो आसमां से आकर गिरा जमीन पर ख्वाबों में फिर भी बादल ही थे वो कहता रहा मगर
के अल्लाह के बंदो हंस दो अल्लाह के बंदो अल्लाह के बंदो हंस दो जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा सिंगल अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे अल्लाह के बंदे अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे जो भी हो कल फिर आएगा
अल्लाह के बंदे हंस दे हो कल फिर आएगा।
So Islamic music has great roots from Persian, Andalusian, Arabic, Turkish and even North Indian traditions. Now these roots have survived till this day. Although the origin of these musical traditions goes back to ancient civilizations, they become fully integrated into the Islamic universe and takes place among major expressions of Islamic art. Now the content of this art has remained highly spiritual and contemplative. And besides Sufi music, Nasheeds are also a very popular form of worship through music. Nasheeds are moral, religious songs that are sung in various melodies by some Muslims without musical instruments. However, some Nasheed groups also use percussion instruments. Now, coming to the other parts of the world like India and Pakistan, the most widely known style of Islamic music is Qawwali, which draws its root from Sufism. A traditional Qawwali program would include a song in praise of Allah, a song in praise of the Prophet Muhammad, a songs in praise of teachers of the Sufi Brotherhood, and songs of the soul's longing for union with the Divine. Now, dear listeners, did you know that Swami used to love Qawwalis? In fact, on the 22nd of November 2001, Swami had the students organize a Qawwali program in the Sai Kulwant Hall instead of the usual convocation drama. And of the Qawwali, Sai Bin Rahana Jai, it is immortalized as Swami used to ask one particular singer to sing this during the bhajans many a times. So here is a live mandir recording of the Swami's favorite Qawwali, if I can call it that way.
मोहब्बत की कमी दिल में अगर एहसास होता है जरा झांको तो पाओगे कि साई पास होता है ओ करिश्मा लगती है वरना आदमी को आदमी क्या रास होता है साई बिन रहान के प्यासे नैना सांझ सवेरे आ जब से है देखा तुझको
I'm
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Chandu Vijay, and you are listening to Love to Love. Well, till now we were speaking about the role music played in the religion of Islam, and now it is time to move to another major religion of the world, and that is of Hinduism. Now, much of the history of music in Hinduism is immortalized in the Samaveda. The Samaveda is perhaps the earliest human literature on music. In Hinduism, music, dance, paintings and drama are considered a divine art. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the eternal trinity, were the first musicians. The divine dancer Shiva, scripturally represented as having worked out the infinite modes of rhythm in his cosmic dance of universal creation and preservation. Brahma accentuated the time beat with the clinging cymbals and Vishnu sounded the holy mridanga or drums. Now Krishna, an incarnation of Vishnu, is always depicted with a flute in his divine hands on which he plays the enrapturing song that recalls everybody to their true home, the human souls who wander in the delusion of Maya. Saraswati, the goddess of wisdom, also performs on the Veena, the mother of all stringed instruments. Now the foundation of Hindu music in Carnatic and Hindustani derivatives are based on the ragas, or what we now know as fixed melodic scales. Every derivative in these ragas are representations of our lives. Well, let me explain that further. These six basic ragas branch out into 125 raganis and putras, that is, wives and children. Each raga has a minimum of 5 notes. A leading note, or called as the king, a secondary note, the prime minister, the helping notes, the attendants, and the dissonant note, the enemy. And each of these 6 basic ragas has a natural correspondence with a certain hour of the day, a season of the year, and the presiding deity who bestows a particular potency. For example, the Hindol raga is heard only at dawn, in spring especially, to evoke the mood of universal love.
Sa ga ma dha sa sa ni dha ma ga sa a a
raga during evening in summer to arouse compassion. The Deepak is a very rare and difficult raga to master, and unfortunately I do not have a sample here for your listening, but I'm sure most of you would have heard the story of Mian Tansen, who lit up the lamps in Emperor Akbar's court just by his recitation of this rag. Next comes the Megh rag, which is a melody for midday in a rainy season to summon courage.
Sa re ma pa ni sa sa ni pa ma re ni re sa ha ha
of rag played in the mornings of August, September, October to achieve tranquility.
Sa ga ma pa da ni sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re re ga ma pa ga ma re sa Ah
The Sri Raga reserved for autumn twilights to attain pure love.
Sa re ma pa ni sa sa ni dha pa ma ga re sa a a
is heard at midnights in winter for valor.
Ni sa ga ma dha ni sa sa ni dha ma ga ma ga sa ha sa
dive much deeper into the origin of music in Hinduism, but we will have to spend many, many segments just trying to understand the surface of it. We can understand from this that music in Hinduism was based on science and its correspondence to spiritual wisdom. The ancient rishis discovered this laws of sound alliance between nature and man. As such, the creation of music in worship in Hinduism is strongly tied to these laws of nature and how it resonates with our lives on a daily basis. The spirit and feeling this invokes in man ties us strongly to the self that we truly are, moving in union with the universal sound of life. So dear listeners, let's now listen to two diverse segments of Indian classical music, the Hindustani and the Carnatic music. On the Hindustani front, we have Pandit Rajan and Sajan Mishra with Rag Durga, while on the Carnatic front, we have Srimati Nityashri Mahadevan with the Kriti Shri Mahaganapati.
Jai 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 Durga
Durga Mata Jai 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 Durga Mata Durga Mata Jai 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 Durga Mata Bhava Ni Jai Sava jagat ko dukha harani Sava jagat ko dukha harani Jai 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 durga ma Durga ma Bhavani Ma, 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 Bhavani, Bhavani.
Ah!
Welcome back, dear listeners. So after diving into some Indian origins, let us move on to where music came into play with Christianity. Now, early music in the church was shaped by Greek, Syrian and Hebrew influences. It was primarily monophonic melody without any harmony or contrast. Now, history reveals that Greek music was based on theories concerning the nature of music and certain patterns for musical compositions. Now, Syrian monasteries and churches were scenes of early musical elements in worship as well. Antiphonal plasmodi. Now, antiphonal plasmodi, antiphonal singing means two choruses singing back and forth. It is something like an echo, not entirely. Now, antiphonal plasmodi and hymns were first present in Syria and then slowly spread to other areas. Hymns followed the Psalms, adopting melodies from early chants. Now, Catholicism adopted the canticle, which is the lyrical portions of the Bible that were sung at specified times of worship. Canticles are a part of today's liturgy in the Roman Catholic Church. The first written chants were associated with Pope Gregory and therefore were remembered in history as Gregorian chants. As early as the Middle Age, the Mass was deemed the worship service most important in the Catholic Church. And because the Gregorian chants were considered sacred, they were utilized in every early Mass. The basic chant was always found in the lower part, the baseline, and was called the Cantus Firmus. Musicians and composers altered the chants by singing, by changing rhythms, voice, harmony, counter melody, etc. But the chants were always present. Now here is a Gregorian style chant of the hymn Hallelujah.
Yeah.
as more and more composers added and altered the basic Gregorian melody, the music for Mass became more and more complex. It was hard to pick out the text or understand the meaning of the words. So it was decided that music for worship must be within reasonable bounds as far as its difficulty is concerned, so that the members of the congregation could participate in the singing. This is very much alike to Swami's teachings for bhajans. If you see, the Lord has always sung bhajans that were simple, easy to follow and remember, to ensure that devotees too could sing along. Now came the 19th and the 20th century, which introduced freedom of style in what history calls the liturgical movement. Religious music underwent a transformation to suit a changing and evolving congregation. Now, music was not only simplified, but integrated with pastures and composers setting religious text to folk music to encourage congregations to join in the singing. Now, examples of famous hymns set to popular tunes are Amazing Grace and There is a Fountain. And dear listeners, here is an example of modern style adaptation of the Amazing Grace hymn by the British blues singer Dana Gillespie.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Embrace my fear, relieved. How precious, dear, that grace appeared the hour I first believed.
Oh,
Now, in the later part of the 20th century, a new musical idea once again transformed the music of the church. Contemporary Christian music, from the folk rock of the 70s with its guitars and drums to the Christian rap groups of the 21st century, Christian music continues to evolve with artists like Carmen and DC Talk who aspire to preserve the message of the church while meeting the need of an ever-changing world. So let's now listen to two modern worship songs by Christian worship singer, composer and songwriter Don Moyen. This was performed by Swami students on the Christmas of 2011.
As we worship you, let all the world come and see how the mercy we receive from you can set them free. As we worship you, let all this joy that fills our hearts bring a hunger and a hope to those who are strayed so far. As we bow in adoration and stand in reverent awe, show your majesty and glory, let your anointing fall. We declare your name, Lord Jesus, as the name who saves us all. May the power of your salvation fill each heart, we pray. Have you not heard? He's been told
patiently I'll wait.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So now from Christianity, let's move on to Buddhism. Now, Buddhist music originated from the age of the Vedas in ancient India. During the Buddha's time, chanting was used as a way to propagate the Dharma. When Buddhism was first introduced into China, monastics made use of many means such as recitation of the scriptures, chanting and writing stories from sutras and other ways to spread the teachings of Buddha. In India, during the time of the Maurya dynasty, the powerful King Ashoka spared no effort to preserve Buddhism and spread its teachings. This time period witnessed many developments in the field of Buddhist music, such as inclusion of copper gongs, drums, flutes, conch, horns and harps in Buddhist ceremonial music. As Buddhism spread to Tibet, the Tibetan traditions of Buddhism encouraged the use of song and dance in certain ceremonies. In Tibetan Buddhism's larger ceremonies, lamas can be seen utilizing all kinds of exotic and unique ceremonial instruments, such as specialized type of drums, windpipes, spiral conches and trumpets. The design and artistry of these instruments is widely regarded as being of intricate beauty. Now, when Buddhism was first introduced into China from India, focus was placed primarily on the translation of scriptures and the teachings of Sanskrit Buddhist hymns was discontinued because of the large differences between these two languages. So the earliest collection of Chinese Buddhist hymns date back as far as the Wei dynasty period. Chao Zi, the son of the emperor, he was renowned for his singing and compositions. Now, according to the legend, he was passing through the town of Yushan in the Shandong province when he heard a song in Sanskrit apparently emanating from the sky. Touched by the song's beauty, he committed it to the memory and later wrote it into a melody entitled the Yushan Fanbi, which was the first Buddhist hymn constructed in a Chinese style. So this song served as the foundation for the development of the Chinese Buddhist music. So the collective name for this type of traditional Buddhist music is known in Chinese Mandarin as Fanbi and has its origins in the time of the Buddha. So Buddhist Fanbi has contributed a unique style to the music of the world, characterized by relaxed and easy pace, soft tones and dignified solemn manner. Buddhist Fanbi gives a unique expression to the five virtuous qualities of sincerity, elegance, clarity, depth and equanimity. According to the Vinaya, in 10 recitations, regularly listening to Buddhist Fanbi can give the following five benefits: a reduction in bodily fatigue, less confusion and forgetfulness, a reduction in mental weariness, a more elegant voice, and greater ease in both personal expression and communication. So now, before we go into what our beloved Swami said about music, here is some beautiful Buddhist chant of the mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. The meaning of this beautiful mantra, according to the 14th Dalai Lama, is Om symbolize the practitioner's impure body, speech and mind. They also symbolize the pure, exalted body, speech and mind of the Buddha. The path is indicated by the next four syllables. Mani, meaning jewel, symbolize the factors of method, the altruistic intention to become enlightened, compassion and love. The two syllables, Padme, meaning lotus, symbolize wisdom. Purity must be achieved by an indivisible unity of method and wisdom, symbolized by the final syllable, Hum, which indicates indivisibility. Thus, the six syllables, Om Mani Padme Hum, mean that in dependence on the practice of a path, which is an indivisible union of method and wisdom, you can transform your impure body, speech and mind into the pure, exalted body, speech and mind of a Buddha. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Love to Love and I'm Chandu Vijay. And we have taken a glimpse into the origin of music in four different religions. The religion of Islam, Hinduism, Christianity and Buddhism. Let's see now what our beloved Lord has to share about music and devotion. In a divine discourse delivered in Sundaram on April 11th, 1997, Swami said, "There is special merit in singing the Lord's name with due regard for melody and rhythm. The Lord is a lover of music. Moreover, when singing is done with fervor, it helps to drive out all bad thoughts from the mind. Melodious music can move the Lord and move all the participants. Hence, when you take part in bhajans or devotional singing, sing with all your heart and soul. You must sing with such love for the divine that you forget yourself. When you sing the praise of God with such pure heart, you will purify your environment, your country, and even the world." Bhagwan Baba promises those who attend devotional meetings. Swami says, "Wherever my devotees sing, there I install myself." Swami also says, "Let your whole life be a bhajan. Believe that God is everywhere at all times and derive strength, comfort and joy by singing His glory in His presence." During a divine discourse in 1969, Swami gives us a divine tip on how to earn His grace while singing bhajans. Swami says, "The tongue is the post. Bhajan of the name of God is the rope. With that rope, you can bring God Almighty near you and tie Him up so that His grace becomes yours. God is so kind that He will yield to your prayers and get bound. You only have to call Him to be by your side with you, leading you and guiding you." Swami reveals that there is a song used in bhajans. It goes, "Bada Chita Chora," where God is said to be a big thief who steals the heart of people. The whole world is God's. All of you belong to Him, though you may not know it. Therefore, He can take anything from anyone. He is the master of the ether, wind, fire, water and earth. He can change the sky into earth and the earth back into the sky. So He can take hold of the hearts of people and fill them with love. Once people know how great is the love that He gives, they will not desire anything else. That is why He is called Chittachor, or stealer of hearts. When you sing that song, you must pray, "O God, enter my heart too. Fill it with love so that I may love all your children in all lands." So dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed this segment of the history of music in various faiths in today's world. As Swami has advised us, always sing with a prayer that the Lord may fill our hearts with love so that we can share this love with all of creation. So till we meet again next week, this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer that may all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. At 3:30 p.m. we will have the Telugu live segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari, hosted by Brother Sai Prasad. And till then, I think it is only apt that after speaking so much about importance of music in worship and religion, I play some beautiful selection of bhajans. So here is a beautiful selection of bhajans from the album series Nada Brahmam, produced by the Sri Satya Sai Media Division under the banner of Sai Blossom.
Namami Sai Pad Pankajam.
Namami Sai Pad Pankajam.
Namami Sai Pad Pankajam.
Namami Sai Pad Pankajam.
Smarami Sai Namamritam.
Smarami Sai Namamritam.
Smarami Sai Namamritam.
Smarami Sai Namamritam.
कन्हैया तेरी बंसी बजे मेरा दिन में भजूं तेरो नाम
दिन में भजूं तेरो नाम
इस दिन में भजूं तेरो नाम
दिन में भजूं तेरो नाम
कन्हैया तेरी बंसी बजे मेरे
I'm not పవన సుత హనుమాన్ కీ జయ పవన సుత హనుమాన్ కీ జయ సీతాపతి రామచంద్ర కీ జయ సీతాపతి రామచంద్ర కీ జయ హనుమాన్ కీ జయ పరాక్రమ ఆంజనేయ కీ జయ పరాక్రమ ఆంజనేయ కీ జయ పరాక్రమ ఆంజనేయ కీ
హనుమాన్ కీ జయ.